Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you, and I know it's like a dream come true for you. Jonathan Zook is, we're having a little technical difficulty cooking him up, but we're working on it. He should be here any time now, but I want to continue to talk about what he is going to talk to us about when he joins us. I want to get us started on that because what has happened, folks, is, as you know, Microsoft is the big daddy in the software world. They're the obviously, and the result of that, part of the result of that is that Bill Gates is the richest man on the planet because of his stock in Microsoft, and they've got like 94% of the browser world, the internet browser, the IE, Internet Explorer, is basically, you know, the big animal. The big animal out there on in terms of browsers. They've got their software programs like their Office Suite and others that are just absolutely ubiquitous around the world, and they got they're the big guy, and so when that happens, consequently, they get shot at a lot. They get a lot of people. In fact, you know, all the folks who are out there trying to wreak havoc with the viruses and all the different things, they like to pick on Microsoft because when they go after Microsoft, they can affect a lot of people. Well, when you're that big of a target, you become an enemy of some people. And we found that a few years ago in the antitrust case that I covered on this show with guys like Jonathan Zook, who, by the way, is with us now. And I covered it with him every month or so for a couple of years while the Microsoft antitrust case was going on. And now, not long after that case kind of went away with the result, the European Union picked up on it. And Jonathan's been tracking that. Jonathan is, you know, folks, is the president of the Association of Competitive Technologies. He's our good, and he's here now. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, good to be here.
It's good to have you back. I was just giving the audience a little bit of a rundown of one of the reasons why Microsoft has been the poster child for corporate vengeance against software technology companies, because they're the big guy on the block, aren't they?
They sure are, and I think that the type of technology they do puts them at the center of a lot of things too, right? It's not even just being big. It's also creating something on which so many people rely, whether it's people or the, you know, software developers or systems integrators. They're sort of at the center of a really big ecosystem, you know, which makes them a subject of envy for a lot of their competitors.
Well, exactly, and that's one of the reasons why the antitrust case came up, because some of their competitors decided to take them to antitrust court, and instead of being more competitive. And And, you know, even though, you know, I certainly don't carry Microsoft's water. I'm not a shill for them. You know, I use their products, but I just try to call things as I see them. But Jonathan, you've been tracking how Microsoft has gotten beaten up in Europe over the last couple of years. What's happening there? There have been some new developments that are pretty ugly, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation. The European Commission works a little bit differently than, like, the Department of Justice or the FTC here, in that here they work through the courts. So if the Department of Justice, you know, can't reach a settlement with somebody, they take them to court. Mm-hmm. In Europe, the Commission acts as, you know, judge, jury, and executioner.
Right.
And so just as a purely administrative function, they can make a ruling against you, including in this case, a $600 million fine. and start toying with your product, which they also did. They made Microsoft come out with a separate version of Windows and start providing information to their competitors related to the protocols that different Windows servers use to speak to each other.
What you're saying is in Europe that they don't have the due process that we have here in the United States in terms of.
Well, I mean, that's right. I mean, at least not initially. Now, right. They've since gone to court to appeal the decision by the commission, but that takes a long time to hear back. And in the meantime, the commission has been hounding Microsoft to comply with its demands.
Hold on, Jonathan. We got to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Jonathan Zook. More on this topic and more on why you and I, as small business owners, wherever we are in the world, why we should care about all this. Stay with us. Back at 17 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Jonathan Zook. He's the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies. And by the way, folks, my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check it out and use it to your advantage. And it's all free, by the way, no barrier to entry. And you can subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Comes on Sunday by email every Sunday. Now in our 8th year of the newsletter. And our blog, which is we're now in our 2nd year of the blog, and it's updated Monday through Friday, and you can come and get it, or we'll send it to you. So check that out when you get a chance. Jonathan, we're talking about this issue between this major court battle. I shouldn't say court battle because it's not really a court involved. It's more the European Union government.
Yeah, now it's running in parallel. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of—I mean—that's what's weird. Is right now there's an appeal pending a decision, but the commission is, you know, keeps hitting Microsoft over the head with enormous fines, sometimes as much as $1 million a day.
Well, let me stop you for a second, Jonathan. In the United States, if a judge ordered a company like Microsoft to do something, and they appealed it, he would have to basically stop until the appeal was over, right?
Well, it would be something you could apply to have happen.
Right.
I guess it's not always the case that you wait for the appeals court in the U.S., but it's very often the case, especially in a case like this where the commission is asking Microsoft to reveal its intellectual property. In other words, they're sort of giving away, you know, the special recipe for Coke. An appeals court decision isn't going to put that genie back in the bottle. You know, I mean, that's part of the problem is that they're being asked to do something that can't be undone.
Mm-hmm. How much of the ruling that is happening, the treatment of Microsoft in Europe, how much of that do you think is just jealousy over the success of the U.S. economy, and how much of it is bad feelings against the United States because of our position, our global policy positions around the world?
Well, you know, nothing's ever that straightforward, and there's different actors with different motives, right? You have, as you did here, a number of big American competitors, people like IBM and Sun that and Novell that had put a lot of pressure on the commission to bring this case. Then you have a commission that, in this more globalized world where more and more antitrust offices are opening, wanting to be kind of the leader, the trendsetter in antitrust enforcement. And so in some respects, you know, they've put out the antitrust equivalent version of the Statue of Liberty, you know, Send us your wrong done by, and we'll take action. And so, I think that gives them a little bit more of an aggressive antitrust enforcement perspective. And then you get driven by ego from there. In other words, it's too difficult to be wrong that you keep going even in the face of incredible evidence. And I think,
Jonathan, why should
combination of things there?
Should small business owners care about this?
I'm sorry?
Why should small business owners care about this case?
Well, it's really twofold, or I guess I'll say threefold. in the particular case of Microsoft and how we got involved in the first place, even though we're a small business trade association, it does have to do with that ecosystem I spoke about at the beginning. You know, for every dollar of revenue that Microsoft makes on Windows, the outside ecosystem, if you will, makes about $10. And so there's a huge amount of dependency on that platform.
Because of the company's ability to leverage these products that Microsoft makes to their customers.
Oh, that's exactly right. In other words, if I have an accounting package that runs on top of Windows, you know, or entertainment package, et cetera, if I've got a consulting business where I train people about Windows or build custom software, et cetera, you know, that whole ecosystem of people that are also making money off that platform. And so when people start tinkering with the platform, that's far more serious to small businesses than Microsoft getting a fine, right? I mean, you might just feel sort of outraged on principle about that, but, you know, in terms of what will affect your real business, well, when the commission starts creating multiple versions of Windows without creating new customers so that they increase your costs, or pull technology out of Windows so that you have to do something that Microsoft used to do for you, things like that, have a very real impact on a huge number of small businesses. And so that's how we got involved in the first place and why small businesses care about sort of the outcome in this particular case. But beyond that, I mean, you have to start looking at the precedents that are set. One is, in Europe, you really only need about 51% market share to be considered a monopoly. And if you define a market narrowly enough, you don't have to be a very big business to have a 51% market share.
Right.
If you're an innovative company and you've helped create a market, you can almost by definition become a monopoly under European law and be subject to the same kinds of issues. I think a lot of people think that antitrust enforcement is just against really big companies. That's not really the case.
Jonathan, let me stop you for a second. Before we go to a break, give us your website and tell us about ACT.
ACT is the Association for Competitive Technology, and we're an IT industry trade association representing well over 3,000 small and medium-sized companies around the world. And our website is www.actonline.org.
In the interest of full disclosure, one of your members is Microsoft.
Microsoft is a supporter. Oracle. I mean, we have some of Microsoft's competitors, too. eBay.
In the interest of full disclosure, hold on to that thought, Jonathan. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Jonathan Zook, the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies, and that's actonline.org, right, John?
That's right, actonline.org.
Get out when you get a chance. Jonathan, Microsoft is the big player in terms of, especially in terms of the wide distribution of operating systems for individuals and small companies. And any peer-to-peer kind of infrastructures with their Windows systems, their Office suite of software is dominant. Their browser, Internet Explorer, is dominant. But there are some things happening in the marketplace that are chipping away at Microsoft. Linux, the open source, is chipping away on the PC side.
Firefox browser is gaining a lot of market share.
Firefox browser, Macintosh, now the new ones will operate PC software. And so aren't all of these things aren't they enough of a challenge to Microsoft without the government getting involved?
Well, you know, that's a perennial debate, right? I mean, because it's so difficult to predict what will happen in the future. The critics of antitrust enforcement say you can't predict what will happen in the future, therefore you shouldn't enforce. And the antitrust advocates will say you can't predict what's happening in the future, so therefore you should have enforcement. And it just goes round and round and round. But I think it's exactly right. I think we're already seeing how these issues of dominance that have laid at Microsoft's doorstep, you know, are already threatened from a number of different places. I mean, you know, Google's threatening to come out with an Office suite that's hosted entirely online.
They're not threatening, they're doing it.
That's right. It's not very good yet. I guess that's what I meant by threatening. But
actually, are now have a subscription version where you have to actually have to pay $50 or something like
right,
that.
Right, I think that's right.
That's the
I mean, they had sort of a really junior version, and now they've come out with a more significant version that you pay for,
right.
You know, for enterprises and things like that. I mean, you know, and Google's got this business model that's more about holding all of your data, right? And that
right.
brings up questions that a lot of people want answers to. And Google might find themselves in the crosshairs of antitrust enforcement before they know it.
The bigger they get, they're very well made. Jonathan, before we go, I got to ask you, what do you think about the new Microsoft operating system, Vista? What do you think about it?
Oh, Vista?
Yeah.
I think it's a really significant advancements. You know, I mean, there's always a few hiccups out of the box when something first ships, but I think they've done some phenomenal work, under the hood of this product.
Jonathan, I had dinner with two people the other night who both had converted some of their PCs to Vista, and they hated it.
And they hate it?
They hate it.
Well, there's certainly some frustrating things. I mean, you know, they get so much pressure about security that they have in fact there's a Apple Macintosh commercial that makes fun of this. I mean they now really make it difficult for you to do a lot of things to manage files and things like that because they're trying to keep you from accidentally messing up your computer and
from yourself
stuff you can turn off, but there's some frustrating stuff for a lot of people.
Well, I think that's what's happening, and frankly, these guys talking about the real-world applications or the real-world challenges they were going through, frankly, Jonathan, between you and me and anybody listening, it made me not want to go to Vista. Maybe you want to stick with Windows XP Professional.
Well, yeah, or if you do go to Vista, get a professional to help set you up on it, right? I mean, all that stuff's addressable.
And why should I have to spend $300 to upgrade and then hire a professional to show me how to work it? I don't like that.
I understand. I think I think for a lot of people there isn't any need to upgrade.
Yeah.
I mean, it is more secure, so I think in that environment, its first customers are going to be enterprise customers.
But that's like putting me in a bubble, so I don't hurt myself, but I can't eat or pick up anything because I'm in this bubble. You know, you get too much protection, you basically, you've gone so far that it makes the tool not useful.
And I think that's a danger, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's obvious why they've gone down that path, right? Given all the heat they've taken.
Right.
But, they're going to have to find a balance.
Microsoft, is it?
I'm sorry?
It's not easy being Microsoft.
No, at this point it isn't. I mean, they're a big lumbering oaf in a lot of ways, and they
Jonathan,
need to
wrap it
figure
up,
out how to be agile.
I got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job, as always. Thank you for keeping us reported on this.
Oh, my pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Jonathan Zook, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.